All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. This is the final episode, I guess you could say, of The Invisibles. After that, we'll be done with The Invisibles completely. It's been a long ride, guys, and I'm not exactly 100%. There's a more of a medical reason. I'm not sick or anything. It's just my body reacts to certain medications, and it didn't react so well to... I mean, it's not even a medication. It's a supplement. You know, even supplements you have to be careful of. You know, I have... what is it? Is it hyperthyroidism? It's the one that you're skinny and, like, you can't gain weight because, you know, you have I have an overactive thyroid. I'll just say that. So everything hits me really hard. But, yeah. Basically, I had a reaction to just 10 milligrams of melatonin. So, yeah, gonna have to not do that. Especially the time release. It did a number on me. It's like, wow, this shit continues to release melatonin like 10 hours later. Yeah, normally it doesn't work like that. Like, if you take it and you're an average-sized person, it'll probably be out of your system in like 4 hours, 5 hours, something like that. Me, it's like 1 a.m. and I'm still, So, yeah, lesson learned. It might work for some people, but it don't work for me. Okay, enough of my rambling. Let's go ahead and get started. I'll do the best I can. Are we there yet? What time is it? Oh, wow. We're calling ourselves post-nowis, which means anything to get past the perpetual hyper-moment of old world order surveillance spectacle culture. We shed names like ducks shed water. I grew up with the Gnostic straight-edgers, anti-sex, anti-death. We imagine ourselves to be perfect simulations, superheroes on a corrupt digital planet conjured in the mainframes of epic monstrous AIs. The universe a program inside a a Manassian murder machine, tormented by individuality, cursed by 2,000 years of ego. The end of history. Before the Meme-plex, before the super context. Whoops. The way they fucking talk nowadays, like rocket scientists, about fuck all. I was 15 years old. Never got my fucking youth. I am not freezing. I'm not freezing so much now, Dane. Remember all that weird shit I could do when we were little? Time telepathy, like being reincarnated, is everything all at once. Dane, man, they took my fucking life. What's my fucking word when they ask me? Like you said in the story, hear that noise? All the fucking time now. Drum machine and the trainers, man. No more pop stars, no more fucking DJs, just kids dancing themselves deaf until dawn. Do you want to shut up about the demons then? Or do you want to watch the sun come up over the Mercy like when we were little motherfuckers? Glitter Dameron. Reality check. My meme is cycling. 5 minutes of post-ironic drizzle. I'm self-blind. I'm oscillating between weird loner and terrified daughter of Dracula too far up a glass wall in the rain. Stop watching the other walls, then. Keep your eyes on my arse. The abduction, or satanic abuse scenarios. A perceptual misinterpretation of the emergence into awareness of a whole new onion layer of mass consciousness. The multiple minds, the MPDs, were forerunners, poor misunderstood mutants like the X-Men. They're gonna do it, aren't they? They're gonna kill Barbalith. Robocopters. Jack. Shite. You're supposed to be the edgy. My friend Jack grew up in the post-ironic when it was too embarrassing to have any convictions but beliefs were mandatory. Deep down, he still thinks techno-cults, this evil megacorp, strangling our dreams by recuperating them into the spectacle. We didn't have memes when I was little. Personalities, we called them. I don't think they're saying memes. I think they're saying memes. The situationist diagnosis was trapped in the either or millennium. There's no such thing as recuperation, only feedback. Which is why you had war. You tried to hammer your enemies into shape. You wouldn't understand how you allow them to define the boundaries of your self-sense. The walls are piezoactive, quantum-encrypted security systems. It's like the maze in Thousand-Petal Loss 2. No more revolutions. We refuse to even recognize the wheel. The Edith Manning... sorry. The Edith Manning memoir was the support when we did The Juice of Three Lemons. The original was on a disc Techno Cult bought for... I wonder if that's... Technocult. Yeah, there we are. The original was on a disc Technocult bought for $100 at an invitation-only auction after Mason died, story goes. Might as well chisel the secret of the universe on the fucking moon. They did, Coca-Cola. I thought we were here to obscurely reproduce this macro-capital sepulchre to find talcum after stealing the secret to this weird new Invisibles game comes out tomorrow. You think you know everything, don't you? Talking like the fucking Open University because everybody else does. Up yours, Granddad. I'll die fashionable. We are the Midwich Cuckoos. Jesu merde. Now I confuse my watch undo. Huh? Reload Ouroboros eggs. They haven't got a fucking outfit called the Edith Manning Memoir. What did you use on the computer? Voodoo worms from the Church of the Crow Daddy in Chicago. They'll fast breed and eat the security system from inside out. When did you last enjoy company of maggots, little sister? He's such a normal guy. Access to multiple self-images and potentials, a menu selection of faces, contradictory personas, the end of notions of territory and boundary, the very concept of the individual, like that of the bounded nation-state, was not designed to survive the last millennium and must be transcended, hence this emergence of the so-called Mimiplex, or multiple personality disorder as a lifestyle option, you tell me. The butterfly runs the quantum computer, it flaps its wing, and Technocult earns $10 billion in Asia. We created Shea Fox, and we finance invisible TV, satellite piracy, and other subversive activities across all media. The fuck? I knew it. Well, I should bloody hope so. We didn't bring you up a moron. I let you in, by the way. Tell me, you remember your fairy godmother? Come to plant a bomb, Jack? There's a couple I've been saving. The super context, it's like seeing those old Magic Eye 3D pictures, except with everything. The world turns inside out. You identify with everything in the universe that is not self, and dissolve the existential alienation dilemma in unity. All is one, and several is none. You know Desaad's transithesis? My invisible initiation involved 3 years as a trainee accounts manager. I learned how to shovel numbers, go home and dream, get fat on tortillas and Oreos. Then when I was ready, I found them again. Initiation? We used to hang upside down in a tide pool filled with hallucinogenic crabs in my day. Didn't we, Jack? The basic fractal generator is pretty simple. Yes, no, as above, so below. The liquid software is carrying magic mirror and anti-mirror traces. It lasts for a day and feels like eternity. Alright. I'm not buying it off you as a fucking Christmas present, man. Let's see it go. Alright. Extreme impact environmental immersion option. It's ragged at the edges, but you can play any of 300 characters, some more involving than others. It's a thriller, it's a romance, it's a tragedy, it's a porno, it's neo-modernist kitchen sink science fiction that you catch like a cold. What do people do when they know they're on camera? They act. That's why the world's turning into a science fiction movie. Surveillance makes us all into stars. The world's a set and the cameras are everywhere, as Aleister Crowley wrote in Liberal Chapter 1, as confirmed by the Kabbalah. Every number is infinite. There is no difference. Terranet News serving the global neuro highway from dawn to dawn. The abyss of hallucinations in a can, eh? How many doses for your money? You can play a can 5 times. Most people need a long recovery, but you'll be in and out like platform shoes, Jack. Exit Zion. Save file. Planetary alignment. Magic matter blobs eating everything in sight in Shanghai Airport, the return of the Mayan star demons.
Or could we be in for a brain-frazzling magnetic pole shift? Select 2012, an apocalypse for everyone, on your menu for details. A couple of the kids who tested it could cure themselves of the invisibles in 5 minutes by the end. If you don't get if you don't get it the first time, you have to keep running it. It's different every time. And playing it seems to strengthen the immune system, funnily enough. I'm next. The game? You're releasing it all over the world for Christmas? That's capitalism for you, Jack. No one wants to stop it because everyone wants to own it. Hurry, while stocks last. I use the NME. Say hi to my friend. All right, Robin. Your mom doesn't want to say my secret agent name. I saw a boy in New York. She's older, but she looks great. Does karate 3 times a week. She was asking for you. I stopped needing to save the world, she said. Saving is what misers do. Is that profound, or does it just make no sense, man? Took me back, all that. We used to have a laugh, eh? Look at that. It's like at the pictures. Yeah. My arse was bloody vandalized, Magoo. Net haptic porn sites offering even more bizarre hands-on experiences to a generation raised on voodoo and cum-shot teenage XXX gangbang Lolita chimps, but sex with a dust mite? Ugh. Lars is doing the weather. Don't diss the dust mite, Tiffany. Gave me a hard-on. Select weather on your menu. I have gift-wrapped a moment for the timeless time to come. The thing that scares me most, if I finish the story, what happens to me? Does it go on without me? Or is it the other way around? Alphabet fish and spilling sharks and the deep neon fathoms of meaning. In sky, no sky, in deep therapy, thinks not the basement of, I don't know. Carrie's in love with straight Edgar boy, says I'm sick behind these eyes and doesn't believe she's part of this story too. Am I sick? Try to remember it's only a game. I saw the ads. I think I'm going mad, but feels like best thing ever happened to it. If I ever have a baby, I'll call her Kemper. Happened to we? The Gnostic error is to hate the material world. The super context is already fully present in everything. The material world is a part of heaven that we can touch. I made that gun myself in 2001. 11 years I spent meditating on it, waiting for Saturday. One shot. Christopher Lee's got nothing on me. You'll be there when the time suit goes off. Be careful, and I'll see you when it comes back. You should go when Jack's done. Time's squeezing down at the edges. Reynard? The Fox? Nice and smooth. December 22nd, 2012. I'm there at the end of the world that was in the beginning of birth into full understanding. Fusion with a super context. I am part of nature. Every airplane, every power station, a result of nature's process. We never fell. We were never apart from the world. We lied to ourselves. But now we're being born, fully grown like insects, like Athena, the goddess of truth. Larval consciousness experiences the introduction of necessary inoculating agents from the super context as a form of invasion by hostile bacterial forces. The inoculation is conceptualized by the developing larva as an invasion of threatening not-self material. The confronting and integration of not-self being a necessary stage in the development of the maturing larva's self-awareness, phylogeny recapitulates history. It was the time suit I was talking about. Billy Chang used the Hand of Glory to free the time suit. Oh, is that what it is? So the hand unsticks the suit, but Freddy panics and collapses time down into a point with it. And of course, I can't look at his ridiculous face. Harlequin? What's the point, if we're not to remember this? You said I couldn't see your face. I meant literally. My face is not visible to you in its entirety from here. I can only show you slices. My true face lies always in a direction you cannot turn or point to. I think it's still trying to be born. It's fingers. Edith, tell Robin to call on Buddha. Namu Amida Butsu, if she can hear you. Of course she can. She is me. Fuck. Fucking curse her. A man, it's moves in time around it. Makes dead your hand look like a claw. What? 1997 is just through the... Wake up in San Francisco. You won't have to do this until you're ready for it. Christ, self-hypnosis deluxe. Deep breaths. Look, darling, I knew it. Promise you'll ignore my weight. Fanny, Jesus, is that you? Fanny, they'll never kill you, baby. You're too fucking enormous to die. Darling, I ballooned overnight. I think Takashi is dead. Do you feel as though time's speeding up, darling? I mean, actually getting faster. And your initiation is about to begin. Are they like giant spiders? The aliens? I'm worried, Dane. Are they here? I can hear them talking like you said. They never shut up. That's them. The bits between everything come to life and showing themselves. Scare the shite out of you for a little bit if you're not ready for it. Something happened. I saw my whole life at once in all of this. I always said you'd be here, my darling, King Mob, the Star Demons. Out of time. Paint your nails, Fanny. Get yourself gorgeous for the end of the world as we know it. Reynard, deep breaths. You're all right. We're complexifying into the super context, eh? And the super context has a sense of humor. I'm king of this aeon. What, the one we just ended? You were dosed with logoplasm, key 64, you evil shit. Welcome to the world. And a bullet in the right place is no substitute for the real thing. Pop! And the king of all tears withdraws and a rain of colored cubes goes the story. The archons are clearly BPM-3 Groff condensations, inevitable signs that universal larval development is proceeding towards self-awareness and birth. The supercontext absorbs the king effortlessly, welcoming his quaint ferocity, converting it to narrative. And this voice talking? Listen to this voice closely. Who is speaking? Whose voice is this speaking in your head and reminding you that freedom is free? I love you. Good luck. Oh no, what have I done? My name's... Oh, Jesus, what have I done to... Always loved you. Will always love you. Goodbye. Remember to breathe. You are only being born. Prepare for download. Remember, she says? I can't remember fuck all. Not like the life you've had, Dane. They had my fucking bollocks off in that hospital. 15 years old I was. Start again, Dane, eh? Start from the start, because there's a lot I did not... Fuck. Ah, it's like fucking... Don't believe nothing you hear. Trust what you know. Remember, it's all just a mirror we made to see ourselves in. And when the Archons come and it all turns inside out with scary miracles. It's only all the things you left outside when you were building your little house called me, eh? P.S. I've written this essay as a suicide note because your education system is retarded and roofed in an 18th century production ethic, and by the time you find this and award me 0 out of infinity, I will be dead. Baby in a dream on sex. Can't describe we a house on they wings. Huh? I guess you're supposed to read that a certain way. Huh? Ugh. It's all right. Deep breath. She's one of us. They time suits. What are we become in all now? I, they, we in all now. I'm ready to play with the grown-ups. Show me, babe. Is all now love? Ah, gauze, man. No paycheck. Please help with food and drink. Reynard and me would argue all the time in this little Indian restaurant they had in San Francisco. There was a picture of Bill Clinton on the wall. There's no difference between fate and free will. Here I am, put here, come here. No difference. Same thing. Nothing ends that isn't something else starting. So which side are you on? Do you know yet? Anyhow, I've said my bit and it's your go now. So while you're thinking about it, think about this. My mate Elfie had told me something when I was a little boy, when I was little and wanking about 20 times a day. We made gods and jailers because we felt small and ashamed and alone, he said. We let them try us and judge us, and like sheep to slaughter, we allowed ourselves to be sentenced. See, now our sentence is up. That's it. That was the end, guys. I'll go ahead and read that quote one more time to leave you with that. We made gods and jailers because we felt small and ashamed and alone. We let them try us and judge us, and like sheep to slaughter, we allowed ourselves to be sentenced. And then he says, see now, our sentence is up. So here's some of the characters. Costume design concepts by Brian Bolland for Ragged Robin's new look in the Invisible second series. Brian Bolland. Invisibles Volume 3 notes. Wow. Let me see how far this... Okay, we actually can read this. Invisibles Volume 3. These are the notes from Morrison. As has been the plan since way back in the 94 proposal, the Invisibles is now moving into the home stretch with the completion of Volume 2 and the beginning of the final Volume 3. Each book of the series so far has been based on, among other things, the life of the Buddha. Book 1, set in Britain, was about austerity, realism, space, philosophy. Just as the Buddha's experiments with ascetism convinced him that privation was not the way to enlightenment. Book 2, which detailed the Invisibles and my own responses to the American experience, echoed the Buddha's plunge into the material world of the senses. Book 2's preoccupations are with wealth, time, speed, and illusion. Book 3 is the synthesis, the middle way, which completes the trilogy and lays the blueprints for a new type of global human society in the 21st century and beyond. All the themes which we've been exploring for the past 5 years are drawn together. All the contradictions are resolved in a higher perspective. This is the culmination of my vision for the series and also my commentary on these startling times we've been lucky enough to live in. Just as Book 2 was completely different in style, content, and tone from Book 1, so too will the final volume represent a higher leap which caps the overall structure. Unlike the first two volumes set in the UK and the USA respectively, Book 3 will span a variety of global locations and will employ a number of new experimental storytelling techniques as it counts down the months towards the millennium and examines the psychic condition of a human race poised on the brink of massive social and technological change. Different characters will take center stage and familiar faces will pass from the scene. As before, this is a completely new comic, and as before, the trilogy structure necessitates a new number one. Okay. Imagine this is a self-contained 12-issue maxi series like Watchmen, but featuring the Invisibles ensemble cast of characters. Each 4-issue arc within the main overstory will have a completely different feel, and for that reason, I'd like each to be drawn by a different artist. Although the changing artists hurt Volume 1, the shorter length of this volume and the high quality of the artist for each arc ought to undercut that effect. Also, the book is now delivering all the answers fans have been waiting for, and I know they'll stay with this final volume no matter who draws it. Our following may be smaller than we like, but it's dedicated, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere, even in this recession. Additionally, the Invisibles movie will be well underway and perhaps already playing during this last series of stories, and that, I'm sure, will bring new interest. There has still not been an Invisibles movie or any form of adaptation. Shelley Roberg. I think Obey, in his glasses, would be hammering the point home a bit, but Ryan could typo it in like reflective ink if you like. Invisibles heads on metals, a background of flame if you like. We open 6 months after the end of Volume 2. King Mob has relinquished his weapons and retreated to the Himalayan peaks. So, I mean, I can recap it, so maybe we'll understand some of the things a bit more. We open 6 months after the end of Volume 2. King Mob has relinquished his weapons and retreated to the Himalayan peaks. The invisible cell he led is fragmented. Ragged Robin has departed on her desperate mission into the future. Boy has quit, returned to normal life. Lord Fanny is taking a break to travel and recuperate. Jack Frost is at the Invisibles Training Center in North Africa, along with Jolly Roger. Only slowly do our familiar heroes begin to play a part again in what starts out as a continuation of the Division X and Mr. Six adventure from Volume 1, number 25. The emphasis will be on nightmarish black humor and conspiracy theories taken to their most outrageous extremes. Issues 1 to 4 then feature Satan Storm and pick up the story of Division X from the end of Volume 1. We learn more about Sir Miles and Mr. Six. The coronation of the royal monster from Volume 1 is set to take place. Division X must face magic, bureaucracy, and gods from beyond as the conspiracy elements of the series reach a ridiculous apotheosis. Issues 5 to 8, Carmageddon, are set in India and the East, and will use new storytelling devices based on Asian films and comics. This finishes Lady Edith's story and also features the return of the Marquis de Sade, including an update on what he's been getting up to in his experimental community of the future. The identity of the Harlequinade is uncovered, and the story of Sir Miles also ends with his redemption, and that revelation that his is the hand of glory. Issues 9 to 12 ends the series with the Invisible Kingdom, wherein the final secret of the universe is revealed, along with the fate of Robin. King Mob takes up his guns one last time. Jack Frost finishes telling the whole story to an old man in Liverpool on the last day of history. And we finally learn who the Invisibles really are and what's been happening in this universe for the last 15 billion years. So there we go. More storyboards and such. Thumbnail page layouts by Philip Bond for the first issue of The Invisibles, Volume 3. Okay. Penciled pages by Frank Quietly for the final issue of the Invisibles, Volume 3. Wow. Okay, this was his final message. In 1994, prior to starting The Invisibles, I spent a few days in Nepal eating hash and fucking around in the dust and shit and holiness exactly as promised by the rough guide. At the end of the week, the full story appears in Future Hotel, edited by Sarah Champion, which spares me from any further embarrassment until I write the bizarre account of what happened before, during, and after the creation and execution of The Invisibles in Kathmandu. Much to my shock and surprise, I experienced something which Adepts of the Golden Dawn refer to as the knowledge and conversation of the Guardian Angel. Yeah, I've actually listened to Grant talk about this in several interviews. Whitley Strieber calls it alien abduction. Philip K. Dick called it Valis. Very important. Definitely read that. St. Teresa of Avila called it Christ. Terence McKenna calls it, among other things, the hyperdimensional lapis, the philosopher's stone. For me, it was full-on Tibetan sci-fi vision of all space-time mind as a single complexifying iteration, which is the larval form of a fifth-dimensional adult entity. The story was hijacked into something new. For the past 6 years, in comic books only, I've been using it to recreate the complete and unabridged sensation of an alien abduction thrill ride style. I've attempted to simulate initiation to some of the secrets of time and high magic, where simulation and reality are synonymous, as the formula fake it till you make it, and create something which not only pays my rent, but deprograms the nervous system and unravels the wallpaper. The way your mind bleeds after reading the entire series at once is exactly how mine bled after 3 hours on a roof garden in Kathmandu, an eternity in the fifth dimension. The Invisibles is a spell. It's not just a comic book. It tells the future. Things happen around it and to the people who absorb it. I'm not lying to you. I present a slice of human experience in this form. I started out writing a story, and slowly over a few years, the world I live in became almost exactly like the story. There's no telling what hell I just unleashed by putting this all over the internet, and we will find out very soon. Friends, learned men and women, if you really find the idea of magic ridiculous, and you're not just scared, and your slave heart that the devil might be real, go now to your local bookstore or to Amazon.com and find a fucking recipe book. Phil Hine or Dr. Hyatt, Ramsey Dukes, Peter Carroll, or Aleister Crowley, if you can stomach the language. Yeah, he's a bit thick. Follow the instructions and watch it all happen. Real as any bus turning up. And if you don't even try and prove me wrong, you're a chicken shit God-fearing Neanderthal. Those days are gone. That God is gone. Wise up and have some fun with the world and your life. Follow the instructions. You'll see. If you miss the secret of the universe the first time around, do what Gideon says on page 8 or go to barbalith.com where all those cool eggheads and stoner motherfuckers will do their best to explain it to you. If the Invisibles exist anywhere now, it's on that form and in your heads. If you still ain't had your fill of fucked up theories, I can be contacted there with the rest of them in whatever form it takes in the future. Oscar speech. Special thanks to everyone who's been reading since 94, and particularly those who wanked for Satan on November the 25th of 95. See, Jill Thompson reckons the same energy which saved the Invisibles backfired and sent me reeling to the hospital with half a lung and near-fatal blood poisoning 3 months later. If it did, bless you all. That hospital bed was my Lazarus pit. If you enjoyed this last issue, and particularly if you enjoyed Raynard's Dear Sir notes, I'll be picking up where the Invisibles left off in a novel entitled The IF. I'm 100 pages into this nasty little novel, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for its birth. I won't be writing any new comics for a while. Everything I pick up now is like something someone or other I know is already written. That's pop for you. Wait 10 years and everyone who laughed at you ends up wearing your clothes and telling you they thought of it first. Death and nostalgia. To be absolutely fair, around this time everybody was writing that kind of stuff. So they're not now. That maybe a handful of people, but not now. And Grant did go back to writing comics, obviously. The concept of the Me-Me-Plex is derived from the work of Dr. Susan Blackmore. Her chilly mechanistic view of human consciousness somehow provided rocket fuel for my imagination. And I feel I should thank her by directing your attention to the meme machine. See what you make of Blackmore's shattering conclusions to what we are. My wettest, most urgent gratitude to all the artists who've worked wonders with terse scene descriptions of impossible things and events. We've had them all through here, from top session men to pouting guitar heroes. I've got my favorites, you can't help it, can you? But I'm not saying. Brian Boland is the Norman Rockwell of the Bizarro Galaxy, and he has no idea that I once stood in line for his autograph, only to be shocked that it was written in block capitals. Forget Doctor Who. Brian Boland is the master. Thanks to Sean Phillips, who contributed all but two of the Volume 1 covers and my personal favorite version of King Mob on Volume 123. Look out for the balance of Volume 1, issues 9 through 25, and trade paperback next year, with a conclusion to follow soon after, I'd like to hope. Thanks to the ever-patient, ever-gentlemanly, in-the-face-of-catastrophe Todd Klein, and to Danny Vazzo, who's been here since issue 1, like me. Thanks to Karen for allowing Vertigo to publish me and Garth and Warren and Mark and Pete and Neil and Jamie and everyone else, of course, but those are the ones I like the best. Thanks to Stuart for getting the project off the ground. He's paid for his crimes now. They should let him out of the pit. Finally, please join me and all the members of the Invisible College, living, dead, and yet unborn, in presenting this cosmic bouquet, this Broadway supernova of exploding neon, wit with a thousand teary thank you notes, to the divine dame, Shelley Roberg. Without Shelley's dedication, the Invisibles would simply have died at the end of Volume 1. You'll never know nor understand, but write to the Pope and the Ayatollah, ye hordes of fucking fandom assembled, and demand this woman's immediate canonization as the patron saint of glam. Nothing else will come close to expressing my love and gratitude. After your humble narrator, Shelley is the Invisibles. The answer to the Thanksgiving spell swept in on the leaves like Mary Poppins to make it all better. And she's marrying Philip Bond this year. See, you miserable Dickensian fucks. See? It all turns out in the end. Things are catching fire now. Osiris has left the building. The cross is deserted. No bosses except level bosses. Get out of my room, Dad. Horus is here. In the form of two uncanny, indestructible 12-year-old twins from Burma. In the form of the anti-capitalist riots in London and Seattle. In the form of Keanu and the Matrix. Ah, he mentioned it. In the form of Edger kids rejecting the drugs of the spectacle, spoiling for a fight. My generation called these highly charged solar winds punk the last time they rolled in on the 22-year sunspot cycle. This is a good time for change and novelty. I've shown you mine. Now show me yours. I anticipate fireworks. Well, he might have gotten them. Grant Morrison's final Invisible Ink essay from the first issue of The Invisibles, Volume 3, Number 1. Wow. Behind the curtain of everyday existence, a vast and unholy conspiracy is at work, twisting and deforming reality to pave the way for colonization by hideous extra-dimensional powers. Facing this onslaught is a laughably small resistance movement scattered across space and time, a handful of subversives known as the Invisibles. The silent guerrilla war is raged for millennia, shaping the very fabric of the universe. But now the countdown to the final battle has begun, and soon everyone will have to make their choice. Crushing soul-rending conformity or radical anarchic freedom. Illustrated by a host of comics' greatest artists, New York Times best-selling author Grant Morrison's groundbreaking saga of spiritual engineering and psychocognitive hacking is now available for the first time in 4 deluxe hardcover editions. Please pick them up if you like these. The final volume collects The Invisibles 2, 14-22, and The Invisibles 3, 12-1, and features art by Chris Weston, Sean Phillips, Philip Bond, and Frank Quietly. Or Quietly. I said Quietly, but it's Frank Quietly. Sorry about that, sir. But yeah, that was very interesting. It was the Invisibles Volume 3, Number 12-1. They were counting down instead of up. And there you are. That's it, guys. We're done with the Invisibles. I hope you enjoyed it. After all these... Well, it's been a number of years, hasn't it? I've been doing the Invisibles for as long as I was doing Transmetropolitan. So, we're both done. Or, excuse me, I'm done with both of those comics. And we're moving into other things on Grimm's Comics Corner. I do have something very interesting to preview you guys for about just a couple minutes. And then after that, we're, going to take a short break. And, of course, then we'll have The Boys again. So, The Boys are coming back, and we're going to be closing out. Oh! By the way, guys, speaking of The Boys, they're on Humble right now. Yeah, you go to Humble Bundle right now and pick up all The Boys, especially, and I think there's like the Dear, whatever her name is. You can pick up that comic too, and it's not that expensive. Remember, Dynamite did a massive 20,000 page sale. That's over and done with, but you can now pick up The Boys. So... pick up The Boys, and guess what? When